we're interested in the money and the financial gain, so I'm going to talk about that. I don't get a lot, but we're hoping that the grantees, on behalf of their member clinics, are able to figure out strategies and ways to increase clinic financial stability. And I'm going to deconstruct all these words. First, I'd like to acknowledge our funder, the California Endowment. Also, the other partners on this project, Claire Brindis, Sarah Geierstanger, Colleen McConnell, and Joe Funk. This is a pretty extensive multi-year evaluation, and I'm going to speak to just one set of the findings that have to do with how we collect information on funding and the degree to which we go into all the permutations of this funding, how it comes in and where it goes, and what does that mean. I'm going to also then back up and say, well, what contributed to these financial gains in terms of the policy advocacy funded under this grant? And I'll get into that in great detail. And I'm going to wrap up with what I think are the key take-home points from our work that might have some applicability to other advocates, funders, and evaluators. First of all, this program directed to 19 clinic consortia, and let me just define a clinic consortia briefly. It is not a clinic. There are lots of clinics, but this is an agency that represents clinics either at the state level, like a primary care association, or at a county regional level. And in California, we have 14 at the county regional level, and we have 4 that qualify as state consortia. So think interest group. That's kind of what these folks are, but they do a lot of other things in addition, like fundraising and the like. The program that they're funded under began in 2001, and the goal is to strengthen their advocacy capacity. In addition, they also were funded to figure out how to tap in and strengthen funding to clinics. They were also encouraged to develop partnerships among themselves, but also among non-health organizations or non-traditional allies. And luckily, there's a partnerships piece on this panel, which I think will make this really interesting. They also were supposed to strengthen clinic operations around areas like quality improvement and information technology, as well as target programs to improve access to care, and ultimately efforts to benefit clinics in their target populations. And for those of you familiar with logic models, this is actually how things kind of flow from one leading to the next. What did we do? Well, interestingly, this came at the request of the funder. They wanted to see what their money was able to do, how a grantee is able to leverage the grant monies. And we basically felt like we were going into sort of unexplored territory here, and we kind of developed our own approach to doing this, based on the literature, of course. But what we did is develop some longitudinal tools, one being a worksheet to track funding, the dollars coming in, how much could be attributed to the grant and the like. We also tracked the policies targeted by grantees. We're looking for other measures of success in the policy arena. We monitor the types of activities they're funded to do on this grant, and just quickly, it's not that they're funded to do lobbying. What they're doing are other things like strengthening their media advocacy, strengthening partnerships with other advocacy groups, getting more involved with their local policymakers on an ongoing basis, holding conferences and forums. And then they also, like I said, are engaged in partnerships. And we, again, looked at, well, what are the implications for garnering new resources through these partnerships? We also decided that we need to marry the qualitative with the quantitative and understand how the funding environment is changing, as well as interviews with the media to understand their perspective. To do this analysis, it looks easy on the slide. It's actually it's a little painful, to tell you the truth, but it's well worth it. It takes a lot of attention to detail and data cleaning, but basically we get the amount and we figure out how much we can attribute to the grant. We figure out by different types of grantees who's getting what. We track what goes to grantees, what goes to clinics. We talk about what's new versus maintained, and this is a key point because really we're trying to inform them on what are the opportunities in a particular funding environment. Is it public? Is it private? We're interested in those funding streams that are the top grossing because we want to know how they're evolving and to what extent they're certain or uncertain. And then as we do, we'd like to know where does the money go. We really like to follow it down to the last penny. So here's my summary slide. This is my result. It's this line. And this is a great line. I mean, it's got peaks. It's got valleys. We like that it's been going upward. We're a little worried that it's going downward. And I'm going to tell you the story behind this particular line. And then also tell you what the dollars mean relative to other dollars. But total, $753 million can be attributed to this grant that was secured by grantees. Let me just tell you, it's the bigger picture is that they reported a total of $2.2 billion to us, and so this represents about 35%, just to give you the bigger picture. But since we're really interested in what this grant does, and this is a key point to remember if you do this analysis, we're really interested in the $753 million. Okay. This is that. This is the line deconstructed. We like to tease it apart into mostly the public funding. That's the majority of the funding. What we're interested on this line is what goes up, what goes down, and what we really like to know is what are sort of the thing. What are the ways that some funding streams substitute or compensate for losses in other funding streams? And in general, you know, federal funding is uncertain, and this is something, you know, words to take to heart when you're at the county and state level. And the funding, the federal funding under the Bush administration has been significant for community clinics, as probably many of you know. That's been their approach to universal access. So federal funding, however, is starting to ebb, and it's a question of substituting. And state funding looks great, but let me tell you, there's those peaks. The state is the blue line. These little peaks are one-time allocations, and that's the danger of relying too heavily on one particular funding stream is that it's episodic. You only get it every now and then. Private funding is nice and stable, but low. And then, but what's really exciting for most advocates is that local funding is out there and can be tapped into. We total it by federal, state, local, just to get perspective. And, you know, it's interesting that the federal funding has been in the lead, but it's being closely followed by the local, then the state. We like to know, in particular, which funding streams are the top grossing, because this is where we get to the policy side of the story. This is where your advocates and agencies can have the greatest impact, is if they figure out where the money's coming from and then figure out how to secure, increase, whatever. So all of these are public, and the 330 funding has been the lion's share, and there's been quite considerable effort directed at advocacy at this level, at the federal level. It's really interesting to see that the county is also pretty high up there as well. And what we like to track around our grantees is the extent to which they are change agents and have the ability to innovate. And one of the things that we find important is that they can target their efforts at the federal level, county, and state level. Where does the money go? It goes to clinics, and we like to know, well, what about clinics? And we tease it apart a little more, and it's mostly about services, and that's true for the 330 funding under the Bush administration. Actually, all the money that goes to the consortia mostly goes to clinics, too. So it's getting where it needs to go. Now, I'm going to tell you a little bit about how these gains were achieved. And any advocates out there? All methods people? How many agency people? Okay. Well, just bear with me. I'm practicing for the next time I have to do this talk anyway. We'll go quick. What we like to do is we like to know what works and what grantees tell us works and what they say when we say, well, how'd you get this money? They say, educate policymakers. So we say, well, what do you do about policymakers that makes that work? They like to get close. They like to be at in-person meetings. They like to do different things. They like to have a partnership. It's not a one-time effort. So I'm not going to read through my slides, but this is where truly being at the table is really important. And one of the indicators that we have is to look at the number of pieces of legislation at the state and federal level. And there has been some good maintenance of effort, as we can see on this slide. The decline in the federal level corroborates our finding about the funding, with that line starting to go downward. But that, as we've been told repeatedly by our folks at the federal level, you got to turn to your own backyard here when it comes to funding. Where we see a lot of strength around the local area is the ability of agencies to get involved with the measure process, and in this case, Measure A. But also, we have allocation of state dollars in the Mental Health Services Act, and that's a planning process at each county level, and that's a place where grantees can be involved as well. And what we know, we categorize and count everything, but there are some things that really work. Persistency, partnerships, mobilizing clinics, really knowing how to deal with the dollars, being keen negotiators on behalf of clinics. We also know that it's important to really identify your policy purview. What issues have dollars tied to them? Access in our state is big. Is access big in your state? Probably. But we have various efforts to expand health insurance to children, and we've had grantees involved with those local efforts. Dental and oral health, it's big. So going where the money is, emergency preparedness, big dollars there. There are some ways that are maybe a little more indirect than others around policy advocacy, and media seems to be one of them. We can't really assess its outcomes, but everybody believes it's important to do. So what we'd like to know is, well, what's interesting and new and different? And again, persistency, leveraging, being involved with your local reporters, having relationships, and being involved in an ongoing basis. The other thing we think is important is that it matters who tells the story. And increasingly, policymakers want to hear the story from clinic patients. And so to have a go-between may not always facilitate your efforts. So our grantees train clinic patients to be advocates, to go to Sacramento, to go to Washington, to talk to their decision makers about what the situation is like in the trenches. And that this has this really interesting outcome of creating advocates or champions on behalf of clinics. Partnerships, very quickly. Partnerships do result in resources, and these folks are very good at developing diverse partnerships. They tend to go, though, where they're most familiar, but they're starting to stretch themselves a little bit, and we'll track that. But basically, the partnerships offers a lot of opportunities for different types of activities, joint submissions of proposals for grants and the like. So to summarize my findings here, basically, as I reported, $753 million seems like a good lump sum. I should mention that the grant is actually a $9 million grant for the first 3 years and similar for the following two grant funding cycles. So that seems like a pretty reasonable return on investment. We like that it's an upward trend. We notice that it's punctuated, though, that it's, the story is actually a lot more complicated than the direction of that the line is going. We know that grantees are really hitting the mark with their policy advocacy activities, and we're strengthening the link between policy advocacy and funding by marrying all the different types of data we have. And we also know that that little decline in my initial slide is something to be concerned about, that we're shifting from an era of opportunity to an era of constrained opportunities, and that's what we're going to watch is how that line progresses. My two take-home points. It's really worth it to invest in policy advocacy on behalf of agencies of all types, and that we think we can create a strong rationale. And what that funding translates into is what's called a policy director who undertakes these activities in an orchestrated fashion. Also, that I'm trying to pitch the argument that following the money here is a really good idea, because the funders are interested in it. other, the grantees want to see it too. They think it tells their story in a very convincing way. So for those of you looking for other ways to document success and achievement of your program outcomes, if you're not already doing this, you might want to consider it. If you want more information, I know there's handouts in the back. Feel free to contact me by email. I'll be happy to talk more about our study. Thanks so much.